in today's collect, the church prays, "Grant, O Lord, that we may always revere and love your holy name, for you never deprive of your guidance those you set on the firm foundation of your love." The Lord's Prayer expresses the twofold dimension of our collect. As you know, this prayer is divided into seven petitions. Seven petitions, that perfect number. The first three petitions express our reverence and our love for God as we pray for thy name, thy kingdom, and thy will. The subsequent petitions express our request for God to guide us with four verbs. We ask God to give, to forgive, do not subject us, and to deliver us. Seven petitions set us on the firm foundation of God's love. And what's remarkable about this prayer that we know so well, when we look more deeply at it, it does four things. It settles our relationship to the unseen world. It settles our relationship to the seen world. It settles our relationship with one another. And it settles our relationship to ourselves. The unseen world, the seen world, others, and ourselves. Our relationship to the unseen world is settled because the one who is at the center of that world, that is heaven, is God the Father. I love this fact, that the two most telling descriptions that we have in the New Testament that describe heaven for us are by Jesus in John 14 and by St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In those beautiful words in John 14, at the Last Supper, Jesus says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If this was not so, I wouldn't tell you that this is the case. But heaven is the Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you so that I will come back and take you to where I am." St. Paul echoes these words of Jesus when in 2 Corinthians he says, "We know that when the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, eternal in the heavens, not made with hands." Isn't that so simple? It's so beautiful. We can all grasp these images. A home, a building, eternal in the heavens, where the Father's name is revered and loved. His kingdom is fully operative because his will is always exercised. So many people stand in the dark wondering what's beyond this world. We have been told by the Son of God and by his apostle. And so with this understanding of our relationship to the unseen world, we know that what awaits us after death is something that we can so look forward to. And it is this world, this heavenly world, that intersects with our world now in the Eucharistic celebration and in our life of prayer as we ask for Mary's intercession and the intercession of all the saints. But not only does this prayer settle our relationship with the unseen world, it settles our relationship with the seen world. We understand that because the unseen world is our ultimate goal, we are to live in this present world, hallowing God's name, extending his kingdom, and fulfilling his will. Notice this again. The first three petitions pertain to thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. It is always characteristic of love to think first about the one whom we love. Therefore, when we think about these first three petitions and what they mean to us, we need to be attentive to how we address God, how we use our private time, how we use our personal world, where only God and those nearest and dearest to us see us. And here's a question I think we all need to ask. Are we seeking to conform our thoughts? Are we seeking to conform our words and actions in such a way that they truly honor and revere God, so that our interior disposition is more and more being transformed and formed so that we are conforming to our heavenly home. Or to put it another way, to how we live in our earthly home, our earthly homes, does it mirror how we will live in our heavenly home? With this perspective, knowing how we are to relate to the unseen world, to the seen world, it also helps to settle how we are to relate to one another. Notice that nowhere in this prayer do we use personal pronouns. They are all plural. Our Father, give us, forgive us, do not bring us, rescue us. At the heart of Christianity is this understanding that when we come to know who God truly is, we come to know how to relate to one another. We cannot call God Father without relating to one another as brothers and sisters. This means that we are called to live intentionally by growing daily in the practice of virtue. And how do we grow in virtue? Well, it has to do with how we relate to one another. And at the very essence and heart of this is that we recognize for ourselves how much each one of us needs mercy. Because we live with other people at times where we intentionally and at times unintentionally injure them. We also know that we live in relationships where we have at times been intentionally and unintentionally sinned against and thereby injured. We also are realistic enough to know that we live in a world where the influence of evil is such that evil wants to separate us from God and from one another. And it is because of this that we are to pray for our daily bread. That is, we are to ask God to sustain us through this day so that when we come to its end, we hope we will have been fed in our relationship with the Lord, in our relationship with one another, and in our relationship with ourselves. The significance of this prayer is so great that in the Mass, right after the prayer of consecration, the very next prayer we pray is this prayer. Because Jesus on the altar is connected to these very words. So may we be reignited. May we be established to remember that the prayer Jesus taught us is indeed the prayer that is to be the firm foundation of the Father's love, so that we can be guided through this world that we seek to the unseen world that is to come.